doctrine of the Bible. And one of the main points of this weekend is that work is something that began before the fall. Work was something that God gave to us in the very beginning as a good gift. He wanted for us to be able to serve Him in the creation that He made. And so as much as our culture gives us, programs us to hate work and to sing Friday, Friday, I don't even know how it goes, but to want to party all weekend, right? You know, we have deep inside us a sense of longing for work, to work. Now, work may be driving you crazy, and you may be longing for the weekend, and you may be coming in here tonight so thankful to be done with work. I get that. I understand that. That's as much a product of the fall as any other element of our lives. That's something you can blame on our fall into sin. And it's not necessarily your sin that makes work stink so badly. It may be any number of other reasons. But God made work good in creation. And through Jesus, work is redeemed. And we have a hope that one day in the consummation, when we live with God and sin has been done away with and death and tears and no more anything being broken, we look forward to work being right again. And we'll be able to serve God as His stewards, as those who rule creation with Him. Isn't that a wonderful thing to think about? That's where we're headed. So, one of the things that I hope that you will hear tonight and all day tomorrow and that you'll take home on Sunday is that work is a gift from God, work is a blessing, and that your work, whatever your work may be, whether you're paid for it or not, is something that really matters. It's something that really matters. It is a gift from God, and He wants you to do it. He wants you to do it well. Sometimes it's hard to see how our work matters. Ultimately, all of our work is being like God in that we are going from, we're taking some little part of the creation from chaos to order. Isn't that what God does in creation? He hovers over the void and moves it into glorious order. We talked about this last Sunday, how God is so hospitable. He creates spaces for His creatures that are perfect spaces. We follow in God's footsteps. We follow His original design as we take little pieces of chaos all around us and convert them into order. That doesn't mean that all trees are the same size and, you know, it looks like a Disney World kind of universe, right? But we are doing away with what's broken and bringing redemption all around us. And as we do that, we follow in God's footsteps. So your work matters to God. And I think that's something that's very exciting. It's something to celebrate. And let me say, in relation to that, that each of us has a ministry. Gone are the days when we talk about full-time ministry as something that that just paid clergy do, right? Your work is your ministry. Each of us has ministry, and again, whether you're paid for it or not. Everything that we engage in, whether it has more of a vertical dimension, whether we're leading people in worship, leading people in prayer, or whether it has more of a horizontal dimension, where we are caring for people around us, whether you're doing architecture, or you're doing medicine, or you're doing law, or government, or whatever it may be, this is ministry. And so all of us in this room are engaged in full-time ministry. Do you get that? Does that make sense? Questions so far? Here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to turn to a neighbor, and I'd like you to tell that neighbor about the ministry that you did over the past week. Tell your neighbor what you did. Say what your name is, what you do for a living, and talk about your ministry. We're going to take 5 minutes for us to share with one another, just as a way of thinking through, my work is ministry. Here's what I did. And don't be afraid to confess if it was all frustrating, all failures. That's okay. But share with your neighbor, and then I'll come back, and we'll talk about this. Okay? 5 minutes. Okay, let's brag on one another. Shout out or stand up and say something that that you're especially proud of your neighbor for accomplishing this week. Good ministry accomplished. Go ahead. Yeah.
Very much involved in what she's doing, as well as the relational dimension of caring for all the other people who are having existential crisis that comes from their loss. And also, this is Kate McKendrick, who's organized this whole thing.
You're both in full-time ministry. Good work. Anybody else? That's right. Good work. The Lord is pleased with your ministry. Come on, anybody else? Eliminating waste. God's pleased, right? Yeah.
This is John. He's my literal neighbor and also my neighbor tonight. And he is helping bring justice to the tax system. So on both sides, both people who need to pay, but also people who have not paid enough. And so he was just explaining to me the nuances of a situation that involves almost $1 million of tax money. And he can, and he's, you know, he's ramping up to this case and is going to be involved in it and is going to see that justice is done as best he can.
Thank you. Thank you, John. Good work, Greg. Good work. Anybody else? Thank you. Good job, Erica. Anybody else? Okay, do you get it? Oh, Annie, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Good work, Caitlin. Good work. Thank you. Okay, so I think this is a fabulous discovery when we find out that all of this matters to God. I think it's wonderful. It's life-changing to be able to start your not just your Sunday thinking what I'm doing this day is religious. And therefore, God is pleased somehow. But then Monday and on through the rest of the week to say, God is pleased with what I'm doing today. This matters. I think it's a wonderful discovery. What we're going to do in the rest of the time tomorrow is that we're going to then move into better and better ways. This is kind of improving on the theme for stewarding what we've been given. Let's find more transformative uses of our gifts. Let's be more efficient with the things that we do, with the gifts that we have, and so on. And we're going to see how to think about work in a variety of different ways. We're going to think about how that can impact the city. And so I'm very, very excited about where we're headed with all of this. There's one concern, though. And the concern is that once we discover how important we are, how incredibly powerful we are as ambassadors of God, that we can then become cocky. When we find out that our work really matters and God is really indeed using us, then we start to get dangerous because we become cocky about, look at how important this work is. Amy Sherman mentions this in her book when she, at the beginning of the chapter on formation, she says, a close reader of the last few chapters might conclude correctly that it's imperative that people avoid underestimating the talents and vocational powers they possess. Now, I want to balance that by underscoring how vital it is to avoid overestimating them. The danger here lies in people acknowledging the position, knowledge, or skills they possess, but then overesteeming them. And now I think this especially hits us where we live. Many congregants in middle and upper middle class churches are successful and gifted. They possess significant vocational power. Many are leaders. Many are high capacity type A individuals with significant abilities and competence. Sometimes such believers need to hear again Jesus' warnings that some very gifted people will end up surprised on the last day. They will say to him, Lord, did we not cast out demons in your name? And he will reply, I never knew you. Jesus is speaking here of people with remarkable talents. Such talents may be evidence of God's anointing, but apparently they can exist also in people who do not even know God. Now, I am incredibly excited about where we're going over the next 24 hours. I'm very, very excited. All I want to do tonight, by no means do I want to take the wind out of our sails. I just want to lay the right foundation. And that's why we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 13. Because this very well-known chapter on love lays the essential foundation for engaging in full-time ministry. And since we're all engaged in full-time ministry, let's start with the right foundation, right? So 1 Corinthians 13, let me set this up by saying that if you know 1 Corinthians, you know that this is a letter to a church that is having a lot of problems, and a lot of pride has developed among the people. Some people are especially proud of all their super abilities. Other people are proud in a kind of subtle way, where they're saying, my gifts, my abilities are undervalued. I don't have the cool gifts in this church, and therefore I'm just going to take my gifts and go home. So there's this sort of, in both ways, it's a subtle form of pride. And what's happening is it's just tearing apart the community. And so this is why Paul, in the middle of talking about gifts, talking about the body, he inserts this chapter on love. And he says, we've got to talk about love because love is the foundation for being a community. And love is the foundation for unity. I'd like to give you a way to divide up 1 Corinthians 13. Maybe you can write in your Bible if you do such a thing, or if you're taking notes. In the first three verses, Paul is saying, ministry without love is pointless. Ministry without love is pointless. Verses 4 through 7, he's saying, but ministry with love is selfless. Ministry with love is selfless. And finally, at the end, the last five verses from verse 8 on, ministry with love is endless. Ministry with love is endless. So let me walk you through these three points as we move through the chapter, and we'll talk about some application at the end. First three verses. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. If you really look at what's going on in these three verses, head and hands, but no heart. Understanding, gifts of speaking, prophetic powers, doing wonderful works in the community, all these kinds of either head or hands outpourings. Without the heart, though, it's pointless, Paul says. Ministry without love is noisy, it's empty, and it's fruitless. It's unhelpful, Paul is saying. It undermines our mission. I think an important point for a church like ours, and it's in the size that we have, is that people take priority over programs. Programs are good, but programs can be all about the doing or all about knowing, and can ignore the heart. Think about how it feels for you to be treated like a gear in a machine. If you've been to the doctor lately, unless you've been to Katie's clinic, it's very likely that you've been treated like a gear in a machine. Friends of mine who've gone through infertility treatment, I've heard over and over again from different people in the church that especially the fertility clinics in our city are they especially treat people like it's this machine just running them through. You know, and when you're in this place of longing to have a child, you're especially vulnerable and tender, and for people to be run through the mill like this, it's very, very sad, isn't it? And the last thing I want is for our church to somehow be a place where we run people through a machine, a program, in order to change the city, right? You know, we can lay out our vision. We can be excited about where we're going. We can have all the right mission statements and so on. But without love, it's pointless. It was pointless in Corinth, and it's pointless in Washington as well. I love strategy, by the way. This is, you know, if I've got a wheelhouse, it's vision and strategy. And I love to talk about it and I love to think about it. All the strategy in the world, though, will do us no good if we don't have love. So, Jesus, John chapter 13, let me read this to you. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have programs. If you have ministry for the poor. If you have love for one another. They will know we are Christians by our love. I don't want to take the wind out of our sails. Learning that our work matters to God, I'm just saying, love is the foundation that we build all the rest of this on, right? So, verses 1 through 3. Ministry without love is pointless. There's no reason to even do it. It's like a clanging gong. Next three verses, Paul gives us this beautiful picture of love, where he shows that ministry with love is selfless. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. I just scribbled out a summary. Patient, humble, gracious, and good. Those are four things that I see in that section. Who does this? Who does all of this? Who's like this? Jesus is. And he's the only one. Nobody else is like him. Jesus is like this. And, of course, the gospel writers pick up on it. And greater love has no one than this, right? Love like this, ministry like this, is selfless. It's selfless. Why is Jesus like this? It's because he's like his Father. Like Father, like Son. And God the Father is selfless too. Another great part of the Kingdom Calling book is where Amy describes, even in the beginning, even in creation, God shares responsibilities with us. God, in his kindness, gives us work to do when he didn't have to. Work is God sharing, God delegating to people who aren't as smart as him, even without sin, who aren't as creative. And he's delegating to, he doesn't have to do this. You see his generosity in doing this? And isn't this wonderful that he, even before sin, is merciful to us to give us work to do? God is selfless, and because he is selfless in this way, Jesus is selfless. Jesus dies for us. Greater love has no man than this. He laid down his life for his friends. Amy calls this God's MO, power sharing. Let me read you another quote. God's MO is sharing power with humans who are weak, frail, and often sinful. He gave us creativity, talent, potential, and resources, and he wants us to deploy all that. God simultaneously recognizes our frailties and his divine stamp on us, and he gives us potential. And so when we are loving like he is loving, then we are seeing people in need in the way that he sees us. We are called to see the poor and the dispossessed as more than just poor and dispossessed. We are called to see their potential, their dignity, their latent capacities. We are called to labor with them. We don't impose our power on them. We are called to bring it alongside them. Okay, last section, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 to the end. Ministry with love is endless. Ministry with love is endless. Hear this. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. This makes perfect sense when you think about it. Love like this, ministry that is loving, is endless because God is in it. Because God is love. And when God's love is poured into ministry, that is built to last. We love to talk about sustainability and durability. We want for the work that we engage in to have an impact, and that is right. That is a good and godly desire. The quintessential ingredient for long-term sustainability, then, is love. Because all of these other things will pass away, but love never fails. And ministry done in love will endure. It's endless. Here's what I'd like to do. I'd like for you to turn back to your neighbor now. And let's have some time of prayer. And would you please, if you are willing to pray, if you're not able to pray for one or another reason, that's cool. Tell your neighbor, and he or she will be able to pray in your stead. But will you pray over one another as you can? And let's pray about three loves. Let's give thanks for the love of God. Let's pray this kind of love into one another's work, as we've talked about one another having ministry to do. And let's pray for love in this community as a whole. And so as we pray with one another, we'll be closing out this time, and then Matthew will come up and lead us in about 5 minutes. Okay? Thank you.